Hi guys, welcome to Learn Kenyan Law with Wanjiko. I am your host, Wanjiko Mwangi. And remember, we're still under the series of sports law, and specifically here in Kenya. But before we delve any deeper, karibu sana.
Asante.
Please introduce yourself.
Mi naitwa Christopher Omondi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the founder of the Dreams Alive Foundation. Mm-hmm. I'm a sports manager. I'm going to be specializing in sports law in future. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Okay, we are also happy to have you here. And I like the fact that you're saying you're going to be specializing in sports law in future. Tutakuwa tunakutafuta very soon, very, very soon.
Very good.
We will be needing your services. And the first thing that I'd also want us to specifically talk about is registration of sports clubs here in Kenya. If someone is at their place and they want to register a sports club, what should they do? What should they know?
Okay. First of all, registration of sports bodies is regulated under the Sports Act, where Section 45 establishes the office of the Register of Sports. Section 46 outlines the registration requirements.
Okay.
Although there are others that they ask you, which are not mentioned in the sports.
They're not mentioned in the act.
So
okay.
For example, things like name search. You have to search to ascertain that the name you're going to use has not been used before by another person.
Yeah.
So after the name search, you present documents. The documents should include the names of the office bearers, the physical address. They want to know your head office.
Yeah.
And if at any given point you guys maybe have branches, etc.
Yeah.
And sources of funding, whether you have branches locally or internationally.
Okay, so those are the most important things. You should, of course, come up with the name of the sports organization.
Yeah.
Of course, which category are you going to be registered under, when you are basketball, football, or whatever. The office bearer, meaning is this the applicant, the person who is applying?
Yeah, also to ascertain whether you are a sports club, whether you're a county sports organization, whether you're a national sports organization, or maybe whether you're a sports agency.
Okay.
Yeah.
So of we have a sports club, we have a county sports association, and a national sports organization. So you need to be specific.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe a sports club, nearly a machinani.
Okay. Sports club, generally, it's a group of people coming together to form a recreation club.
Okay.
Maybe football, maybe basketball, maybe hockey, and any other thing. A county sports organization, it's an organization that is registered to regulate, manage, and organize sports events at county level. A national sports organization, now these are the federations. These are the Kina Football Kenya Federation, the Volleyball Federation, swimming, hockey. That's a national. It has a national image.
Yeah.
It regulates sports nationally in all the 47 counties.
Okay. Thank you so much for explaining that. You know, I did not really quite get it. So you've explained about the name, the category, the office bearer, the head office. So when I'm making this application, are there any attachments that I'm supposed to be attaching, or am I paying any fee, or is it free of charge?
Yeah, attachments. Attachments are only the national ID of the office bearer.
Yes.
And if they have ex officio members,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you attach their IDs.
Okay.
And KRA pins, I think at times it's a mandatory requirement to attach the KRA pins.
Yeah.
Minutes to the meetings that led to the establishment of the sports organization, also it's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is a letter of introduction. Tell the sports register who you are and why you want to register the organization.
Yeah. What about the constitution for your group?
Yeah, I almost forgot. The constitution actually is the most important, but it's kind of a sketch. They have something that leads you in preparing your constitution so that you know exactly what they need.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the rules and regulations that are supposed to be followed. Yeah.
Okay, sawa. So you've said a constitution is important, but normally they have like a template. Let's call it a template.
Yeah,
and
template.
You just fill in the important details.
Yeah.
So after that, what happens? You have already done all that. What's the next step?
So it that is now under Section 47, I think. Mm-hmm. The certificate is issued by the registrar. Mm-hmm. After ascertaining that you meet all the requirements,
yeah,
and that your organization is of national interest,
mm-hmm,
you have followed all the procedures,
yeah,
that they are deemed necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're given the certificate by the registrar.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, as we know, the certificate of registration, of course, is conclusive evidence of authority to operate, meaning you can now start training or whatever it is that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So we've talked about now the registration. Let's talk about a rejection. At what point can my application be rejected?
The rejection, it's mentioned under Section 48, if I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the first thing, the registration of a sports body, the first thing they usually take into consideration is the national interest.
Mm-hmm.
Once your organization is once the registrar feels that it doesn't uphold the national interest, it is revoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is one of the requirements.
So once they feel like it is in conflict with the national interest, or once they feel like this proposed activity that you're proposing, you know, it's not in the same line as our interest as a country.
Yeah.
That's a point of rejection.
Point of rejection. Okay. The other point of rejection is if the registrar feels the information that you have provided in the course of the registration, in terms of documentation,
mm-hmm,
and in terms of information, maybe in terms of office address and source of funding, etc., they'll be rejected.
So if they feel like that information is false,
yeah, false,
they will reject it.
They reject it.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So once the registrar rejects my application, what do they do? How do they notify me that they've actually rejected this application?
They notify you by email. Mm-hmm. They notify you by letter. Usually, when you're registering, there's a part where you provide your postal address,
okay,
and your email address. They will email you and they will post it. And also, when you're registering, there's also the follow-up process.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going to follow up your application, if those two other modes of sending your rejection,
mm-hmm,
didn't reach on time, they will notify you that, yeah, your application is here, it's been rejected. Yeah.
Okay, so actually I think I should have asked this as the first question. Where are we registering this club? I am in Meru, where am I going?
Okay, all applications are done at the Registrar of Sports,
mm-hmm,
here in Nairobi.
And so they have not, there's no devolution when it comes to sports, you have to come to Nairobi?
Yeah, the Registrar of Sports, it only has one office,
mm-hmm,
unless they have established other offices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware
of which
that.
Is advisable?
Yeah. It has one office so that everything is regulated.
Mm.
You can find the Meru people want their organizations registered in such a way, maybe due to culture.
Yeah.
The Kisumu people have their own culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of a fix. So it's like the registering of a company.
Yeah.
It has to be one registry.
Yeah.
So that everything is national.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's only one registry so far,
yeah,
and it is in Nairobi. Where specifically? Would you know?
Registrar of Sports is in NSSF building.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Thank you for informing us that. And so we have registered our sports organization. We have already gotten a certificate. We have already started our duties as if we are already acting because we have the proof. So at what point can my certificate be cancelled?
Okay, according to the Act,
mm-hmm,
they have specifications.
Yeah.
If you engage in malicious activity, mm-hmm, that is one reason. Probably stuff like money laundering, that's a no. If you engaged in a feud with the government, probably. And also misappropriation of funds. Yeah, because nowadays they're in check. When a sports body doesn't follow the general law,
mm-hmm,
in terms of accreditation, in terms of transparency, in terms of financial accountability, yeah, that's a no. So those are grounds for cancellation of the certificate.
So your certificate can be cancelled if, of course, you engaged in activities that you're not supposed to engage in, if you're in violation of the laws that you're supposed to probably abide by,
yeah,
and, of course, if there's non-disclosure of material facts.
Yeah.
So it's important for people to know that the registrar has the authority of cancelling your certificate of registration, but of course they have to notify the organization
especially
automatically. Yeah.
Especially if you can't provide financial details when required by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is one major ground.
It would be sensitive, of course.
Yeah.
So if you're not able to disclose how you're getting your funding, and then they feel like there's suspicious activities going on, so they will cancel.
Things like money laundering, it's a major issue in sport. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and also things like gambling, bookmaking, you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, match fixing, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they have, I think a few football clubs have been banned before in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And a few players banned and suspended for years because of not money laundering, because of gambling, match fixing. Yeah.
Oh, of course that. I feel like match fixing is also a sensitive one because, of course, even internationally, that's an issue. So, of course, I'm thinking nationally that would also be an issue.
Yeah.
So before we wind up our talk today, I'd also want us to talk about the inspection of this sports organization.
Mm-hmm.
Are they inspected? And if so, who inspects them? And why are they even inspecting them?
Okay. Sports organization, in partnership, with the federation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're registering a football body, so there are standards that you have to reach. There are football standards, there are hockey standards. So they partner with the federations to make sure, you've been vetted. It's kind of like a vetting. Do you have this? Do you miss this?
Mm-hmm.
How does your office run? What are the resources that you're having?
Mm-hmm.
What is your 5-year plan? Yeah, what measures do you have to make sure that there is a change in the next probably 10 years? Yeah, so that those are the things. It's like a trajectory inspection. They want to see what you're going to achieve in the next 10 years and how you're going to achieve it.
Okay, so while you were speaking about that, I wanted to ask, a sports organization have a sports club
mm-hmm.
have a book of accounts? Are they required to have the books of accounts? Are they required to probably have their books intact?
Yeah, they are required because actually nowadays when you're going to register
mm-hmm.
The sports organization, after before you claim a bank account, you need to have the tax certificate, the KRA PIN, and the tax compliance. There's a time, I'll give you a case study. There's a time Gor Mahia and FC Leopards had problems with KRA. I think since they are community clubs, the government had to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
KRA were claiming like 98 million in tax arrears from Gor Mahia. Going back to like 10 years that they are not paying taxes. But in real sense, according to the defense for Gor Mahia, according to the other law, they were registered as a society.
Mm-hmm.
The sports club was registered as a society. And as the societies were deemed to be like charitable organizations. So you're not supposed to pay. I don't really know how the case went, but I can see Gor Mahia functioning. So probably they won the case.
Yeah, it didn't go too bad
for
them.
But they got an interim order, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, taxation is a very serious issue.
Very serious.
Okay, thank you so much. I feel like for today we've discussed such an informative episode for someone who wants to register their sports club. People know what they should do. And if you're already having a sports club, there are things that you should do and there are things that you cannot do. Because, of course, we've talked about cancellation of registration. Do you feel like you have something else to add?
Yeah, talking about those who have already registered,
mm-hmm.
The Act specifies all those organizations that were registered. A sports organization that are registered as under the Societies Act, 1 year after the establishment of the Sports Registrar, the Sports Act,
mm-hmm.
they should henceforth register afresh.
Mm-hmm. So any club that was registered before 2013?
Yes, okay. Before this 2013 Act was passed.
Yeah.
So right now, for example, if you have an organization that is registered under societies and it's a sports club, you can't function with it henceforth.
Yeah.
So you need to go to the Registrar of Sports and register afresh and provide new details.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And as you are talking about it, I was wondering, for example, if you have maybe at my workplace,
uh-huh.
maybe we have a football club for women.
Mm-hmm.
and we normally play, but it's a workplace, like it's a totally different entity, but we have a football club. Do we also need to register that, or is it just for extracurricular?
It depends on the scope that you want to engage in. For example, let me tell you, I'll give you a few advantages of registering a sports club.
Yeah.
If you register a sports club aside from your office, for example, Equity Falcons, a separate entity from Equity, what happens is you'll be able to receive you'll be able to separate your accounts from your office account. So, if someone wants to sponsor you, they will sponsor you as a team, not as a company.
Yeah.
You become a legal entity. You can sue and you can be sued. You become a body corporate. Yeah, you can engage in financial activities. Yeah. You can engage a bank in credit and lending, etc. You can come up, you can own your own property. Yeah, since you're a body corporate. Yeah.
Okay, and I like the fact that you mentioned you can sue, you can be sued. Which other effects are there from registering your club?
You can access the bank. Yeah. Separately from, for example, if you are a company, you now become a separate entity from the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can sue, you can be sued. You can access funding differently from the organizations. You can also engage in building, acquiring property, and maintaining and engaging in community activities, based activities as a club. Yeah.
Ah. Okay, sawa. Asante sana, Christopher. I feel like we've learned a lot. Personally, I've also learned a lot. There's some things that I did not know, but now I know. Of course, we are legally informed. Now we're not doing things from a point of ignorance. And in case you guys have any questions regarding to this, feel free to ask and we shall be here to answer. And that's going to be it for today's episode. See you in our next episode as we continue talking about sports law. We want to ensure that you're well informed when it comes to sports law. And our next episode for sure is going to be an interesting one. You don't want to miss it. So see you next time, guys. Bye.